We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. Indeed, this is the voice. We're still the voice of the Christian resistance after all these years. And on this... Well, it's the 4th of March. Wow, time is going by so quick. Pretty soon, it's springtime. And here in Ohio, in the last couple of days, it's been like springtime. Alrighty, and tonight we have, our producer is none other than Ken. Hey, Ken.
How you doing, Pastor?
We're doing okay. And then we have the legendary Pastor Joe Larson.
No, I'm still alive, kicking, and ready to go to work.
Well, we have a whole lot to get out tonight. I mean, we really have a lot of info to get out tonight, so we got to get right to it. But the first things, though, we have to do is we have a couple prayer requests, and one of those is for Harry Holland. Harry was a member of Doers of the Word Baptist Church, and Harry, about a month ago, stopped coming to church, and I couldn't figure it out. So after what was the last time he came to church? Was about a month ago. So after a week, a couple of weeks, I called him, and I didn't get any answer. And so I called again, and then there was, I believe, now I think about it, I think he left a message saying, I'm okay. But anyhow, I found out tonight he's not okay. He is in a nursing home there in I believe it is Talmadge, the Heather Knoll Nursing Home in Talmadge. And he is not in good shape. And finally, his wife called me, and when I left a message, and she told me that he had had a colostomy, and it didn't go well. There was complications. Make a real long story short, Harry's in the nursing home. He's not doing very good. He is not eating, and he's sinking fast. So I'm going to ask all the folks out there listening around the country to join with us. Harry is a Vietnam veteran and a good Christian man, loves the Lord, and he's no kid. He's our age, Joe. And so if you folks out there would join with us in prayer, I'd appreciate it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we want to hold Harry up. Lord, we know that, Lord, Harry loves you. And Father God, Harry's been a true man, a patriot, a good good husband all of these years to his wife. And so, Lord God, we just want to hold him up and ask, Lord, that you might touch Harry, that he might receive that healing in every area, Lord, where he may receive that healing. And again, like I said, he's always been a faithful patriot, faithful Christian. And, well, I don't know what else to say, but, Lord, we miss Harry. This whole church misses him. And we ask, Father God, Lord, again, that you might touch him, that he might receive a healing. Get him out of that nursing home. Get him back out there where we, out there at the church, doers of the word, where we need him. You've given us a lot of missions, Lord, and we need all the help we can get. So that's our prayer tonight. And, Lord, we have another Mickey. Mickey, too, now is got a number of, has been suffering with a number of, Joe, what did I tell you? Mickey had
tumors.
Yes, yeah.
Probably cancerous.
Yeah, and he is, it's just draining the life out of him. And so we would ask, Father God, Lord, that you would touch Mickey, that he might receive a complete and total healing too. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we need to get into the message.
We do need to remember one thing when we're looking at that, and I'm not trying to correct you, but you've always told me we need to pray that if it be thy will, Lord, because sometimes we don't know what's going on, and Lord may be calling one of his children home. We never know, right?
That's true, and I've had a number of deathbed conversions, and I remember my own mother. We didn't want to turn Mom loose, and she one day finally said, "Would you please leave me alone and just let me die? I've been here long enough. I want to go home to be with my family." And Mom had stopped eating. She had stopped eating, and you didn't want to lose her. And I was lucky to be standing right there with her when she breathed her last. But sometimes it's time. You know, you got to turn loose. You just got to do that. And so
that's where we have to trust in Him, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We do. And see, that's why we are so blessed. We're not afraid of that time. We know we're going to go to something better.
Amen.
And we have that blessed assurance. And so many, I've seen people where when they were close to the end, they were in a panic and they didn't want to die. They were scared. But, and you know, all of our death row inmates, I sat there with every one of them when they executed them. But we prepared them, and most of them actually had a smile on their face, knowing that they were going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Amen. I spent years in hospice, and I remember the real born-again believers dying in peace. Sorry they were leaving loved ones, but looking forward to being with the Lord and a peace over them that others just couldn't believe. The non-believers, it was a lot, 10 times harder.
I remember Pastor Lenz when he was ready to go. I got a call at 4 in the morning. His family had been at the hospital with him, and they had left. And there wasn't any way to contact them. And the hospital called me and said, he's taking a turn for the worse. It won't be long. You better get here. So I rushed right over to the hospital, and he was there. When I first got there, he was in a lot of pain. But then we prayed. I held his hand, and we were praying. And then what happened, we both actually dozed off. And pretty soon he woke me, and he always called me son. Son, he said, the Lord just showed me. He had a big smile on his face. He said, the Lord just showed me a glimpse of heaven, where I'm going. He said, it's wonderful. He said, I wish you could see this. And then shortly after that, he was gone.
Gone. Oh, that brought peace. The prayer, you know, just think about it, brought peace and calm, and he was able to sleep. The pain was taken away, and he died with seeing something that you and I keep hoping to see.
We will. We'll make it.
We will.
Yep. The...
Well, what I mean by hoping, not tomorrow, maybe. I've got too many things the Lord has lined up for me, but when he's ready, that's the sight I want to see.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we got to get into the message. Do you remember the title was?
So many people, so unaware, didn't repent, and didn't care.
Well, you know, the purpose, Lord, of this ministry and my messages, Joe, is always to let people know what they need to hear. What they need to hear. Our allegiance, 100%, without any compromise, is to obedience to God and to our calling. And we are not afraid. If it means if we offend the offering plate, so be it. We'd much rather offend the offering plate than offend God. And
Amen.
We do that by telling people what they need to hear. I wrote a little poem to start this off with. It. A little poem kind of goes like this. So many people, so unaware, embraced a salvation that was never there. They believed a message that someone sent, assuring them there was no need to repent. Soon the day cometh when their soul the Lord required, only to find a place reserved in the burning lake of fire. And that has to do with the message tonight, because it's all about here. Well, as the world slides deeper and deeper into the great apostasy, more and more false teachers are teaching that repentance is not necessary for salvation. I remember hearing Joel Osteen on the Larry King show. He said, Larry, I avoid preaching against sin. I don't preach against sin because it sends a negative message. He says, I prefer to tell people how much God loves them and that he wants them to prosper and how much he wants to do for them. He said, that's a positive message. Well, what's the problem with that, Joe?
Well, the positive message that I preach is the wages of sin are death, and if you haven't repented, you're headed for the lake of fire. I call that positive. God was very positive when he said that.
So
he didn't stutter. He didn't make a false statement. He told it just the way it is.
So Joe don't want to offend people, but he doesn't have a problem with offending God, huh?
Right, exactly. He and God are diametrically opposed on that issue, and I don't want to be in that position at all.
Well, let's start tonight then in Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. Read me verses 12, Matthew 4, 12 through 17.
Well, the subtitle, Jesus Begins His Ministry. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed unto Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the border of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region in shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Well, you know, here again, Jesus begins his ministry by the very first word was
Amen.
Repent.
Yeah.
But you know, if you read verses 15 and 16, the prophecy there that Jesus just spoke of here was found in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And that gives you the background for a tremendous prophecy of the name of Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6, in fact. So much of Jesus' early ministry was carried out in Galilee, especially Capernaum, and at least his first six disciples came from there. So That prophecy was fulfilled. He was the light that came in the darkness there. And that was about him, and it was fulfilled by him at that time. And so with that, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7.
All right.
2 Corinthians chapter 7. And that would, I'll be there in a minute. Okay, verses 8 through 11.
But though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this manner.
Matter. Okay. Turn over now, because we're going to come back to this, but first turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and read verses 12 through 15.
11?
Yeah, right. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 12. Verses 12 through 15.
But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Okay, so here, what Paul's talking about over in chapter 7 is that in Corinth, you had these false preachers that he's talking about. These false preachers that came and said they were identifying themselves. We're just like Paul and Peter, we're apostles too. And telling the people that, you know, they're not giving you enough leeway. We're going to, you know, Paul and the others, and in this case it's Titus, because Paul was there with Titus. They're not telling you exactly what they should be telling you. There's leeway. You have the freedom and to embrace some of the pagan beliefs and some of the pagan teachings. In other words, you can compromise a little bit. It's what they were telling us.
Like, yeah. Pick and choose, but compromise just a little, not too much, but a little, right?
Yeah, it's like the apostate church of today.
Yeah,
they justify sodomy. They justify LGBT because Jesus was loving, and sodomites just love each other, and we should just love them and accept that, and you know, we need to accept and embrace some of these sins. Okay, abortion. Well, you know, it's like you had Al Sharpton. Remember Al Sharpton saying that the Bible condones abortion. That wicked little man. That wicked little man.
What Bible that was from? Because I've gone through the King James several times, and boy, I've never seen that. Have you?
No.
I asked a few friends of mine, and none of them had seen it either, so kind of think maybe Al was smoking something.
Yeah, he was. And so this is what was taking place here. Now, this, actually, what you had, Joe, was you had repentance by an assembly, by the church there in Corinth, because Paul and Titus came back, and when Paul, he used his authority. He came back and kind of gave them a whooping, and they repented. When they realized what they did, they realized that they had been deceived by these false teachers. And Paul says here, he says, "Now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but you sorrowed to repentance, for we were made sorry. After a godly manner, you might receive damage by us and nothing." In other words, he's talking about that you haven't suffered any loss. In other words, because of what they've done, Paul and Titus were there. They came back, and they were able to make things right.
Right. They're able to save people from going in any further into sin and really endangering themselves, right?
Absolutely. So here you had repentance by an entire assembly, and we're going to right now go to a break, and we'll be back in just a minute. On a cold winter's morning, on a sidewalk in the city, a lost soul approached me as the snow was getting deep. I could see the look of death. It was there in her eyes now. As I began to preach, she began to speak. She said,
"Preacher, I'll admit it. I've come to kill my baby. The whole world is telling me that I have that right. But deep down inside me, I believe what you're preaching. Children are a gift of God. We've got to give them life."
So I put my arm around her, and I gave her the gospel. It was right there in the darkness that she could see the light. Two souls were saved, both her and her baby. If you're called to do the Lord's work, you had better learn to do it right. You've got to know. Not just a piece. Don't try to walk away from this. No way to run. Yeah, Joel wasn't. He said, "While you're able, he's the keeper of your soul now. He's God the Son." Now every preacher knows the rock of his salvation. I'll separate the goats from all the sheep. All men are sinners. They all need the Savior. He's the only one to trust in. It's your soul that he'll keep. And when I finish the preaching,
the woman was a believer. A baby in her womb I knew she would keep. And now 25 years later, her baby is a young preacher. She's so very proud of the baby that she decided to keep. You got to know how to please him. Not just to please him. Don't try to walk away. Not just to appease him. Don't try to walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count your blessings and
do it while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's God the Son. You got to know how to please him.
Not just to appease him. Don't try and walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count. While you're able, he's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the soul.
All righty, we are back. And that song, Joe, you know, is a true story. Now, that song, I think we made about 15 years ago. And so that boy would have been about 40 now. And that was a true story that happened there on Blood Alley, Shaker Boulevard, early in the morning when the snow was coming down. It was getting deep on the sidewalk. And way down that sidewalk, along the train track, you could see the light as it was lighting up. And I saw a shadow, but there was like a dark aura around it. It was death. And she was walking my way. I was the only one out there that morning. And when she got up close, I said, "You've come here to kill your baby, haven't you?" And she said, "Yeah." And Joe, I said, "Why are you going to do that?" She said, "Because my baby's going to be born without a brain." So, and that's one of the things that they were telling at that bloody abortion mill. If they were a white girl and the father of the baby was black, that was one. And they had another one for the others. So I said, "Oh, so the baby's father is a black man, huh?" And she says, "How did you know?" I said, "Yeah. That's what they tell them all." And I says, "Listen, if you go in there to kill your baby, it's a good chance you could die too. That happens quite a bit." And I said, if that happens, where are you going to end up?" And she said, "I'd probably go to hell, wouldn't I?" I said, "Yeah. Did you ever ask the Lord Jesus in your life?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" She said, "I don't know. How do I do it?" And I told her, and she got down on her knees. I didn't tell her to get on her knees. She got on her knees, and that's no. And she took my hand, and she said the sinner's prayer, and she asked the Lord to be her Lord and Savior. And then I asked her, I said, "Let me ask you something. Your problem's a big one." She said, "Yeah." I said, "How big is God?" She said, "He's bigger than everything." And I says, "He's bigger than your problem, right?" She said, "Yeah." And she said, I said, "You going to trust him?" She said, "Yeah, I am." And she thanked you, and she gave me a big hug. And the baby's name was Adam. And if my calculations, if my memory's right, he's about 40 years old right now. And we have a guest. We have Dennis Spurrier with us. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, how are you doing, Pastor Sanders?
I'm doing okay tonight. How are you?
I'm doing great. And just before we get started, I just want to thank you for allowing me this opportunity tonight.
Well, you're welcome. Say hi to Pastor Joe Larson.
Hi, Pastor Joe Larson.
Hello, Dennis. Glad to have you on.
Dennis, you're going to give us an update, especially too, on Ken Cromer. So just go ahead, and I was, we have a lot to get through tonight, so a lot of things have come up, but say what you have to say. Tell us what is happening with Ken and the others.
Well, actually, I just heard from Ken this morning, and he's doing very well. He does not like where, he doesn't appreciate where he's at, obviously. And but he's very grateful to the audience who has sent postcards to his wife in support, as well as put money on his book. And he's been studying quite a bit, but he now understands that the nation is in a peculiar situation to where pretty much there is no law when it comes to the court. And he's starting to see that it looks like it's going to be up to the military. And that brings me to Tom Fairbanks, who is a member of the Intelligence Support Activity, which is part of Delta Force. And Tom was working feverishly to provide information and intelligence to the military on satanic ritual abuse. And so here's the update. I'd like to read this so I get it correct. about Tom Fairbanks. We have a, this is a quote from Judy Byington from Restored Republic, who printed this out 2 days ago. Now, if your audience has a pen and paper handy, they could write down, as I give it to them a little later, the address to where they can send Shauna Fairbanks just a note with support and love. That'd be much appreciated by Tom. So here we go. We have a huge problem here in Utah with the cover-up of satanic ritual abuse of children. I know, because for over 34 years, I have gathered testimonies of countless satanic ritual abuse survivors whose information on the rape, torture, and murder of children sometimes tied into the same perpetrators. I tried to take my information to county sheriffs, police investigators in several counties, 3 times presented it to the Utah Attorney General, and even pushed the FBI for investigation. None wanted to interview me and still don't know what I have. My journey began when in 1990, the newly hired Utah State Satanic Ritual Abuse Investigators' first arrest was a regional satanic coven leader. His territory covered the western U.S. Then the state prosecutor refused to charge him with anything but a minor molestation charge, plus refused to allow his victims to testify against him in court because the women had multiple personalities. Yes, these very intelligent women had the severe disassociation because of the leader and his coven's torture and rape of them and other children throughout their childhood. That included their witness to seeing children murdered on at least a yearly basis. Needless to say, the leader got off on a quirk of the law and was still out there doing his thing. The SRA investigators never took another case to court, lost their jobs because the funding went south, and were never replaced. Tom Fairbanks knew all about that. He had also spent much of his life gathering evidence on the ritual abuse of children here in Utah. Last week, he was arrested and placed in the Utah Weber County Jail. For what? The reasons given for his arrest were suspect and didn't appear to be due to criminal activity. His record is sparkling clean. The real reason for these attacks appeared to be that the powers that be didn't afford to have someone with Tom's very valid evidence of SRA cases to be running around unchecked. He had to be silenced one way or another. Fairbanks' problems began when he decided to take his evidence of SRA abuse of children and share it with Utah government powers. No sooner had he done so when a tsunami of problems began to plague his life. That included an attempt on his life by poison. Fortunately, Tom survived, but he suffered for 30 days in the hospital as a result of the attempt. He also endured an eruption of legal issues that started as a small claim for $5,500, which were dismissed by the judge. That somehow evolved into a federal court fraud indictment of more than $500,000. With the reality of the situation, Tom's greatest concerns were twofold. First, Tom would greatly appreciate your sending postcards to his wife indicating your support and love. Her name is Shauna Fairbanks at 345 North, 150 West, Logan, Utah, 84321.
Okay, now I got Shauna Fairbanks, and give me the address. Speak a little slower.
345 North, 150 West, Logan, Utah, 84321.
Utah.
Tom and Shauna would greatly appreciate your show of support.
What was that zip again?
84321.
All right. I will make sure she gets some from our church. Folks out there, again, Let me
both
give
of
that.
These men pray nightly for America. They both love their Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, and all three of us testify daily to about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And again, Pastor, we appreciate all you do and all your prayers for all America as well.
Dennis, do you know? Have you ever heard of a fellow named Tom Wedge?
I've heard the name, but it's been a while.
Tom Wedge is called the Satan Hunter. He headed up a very elite police department. It was the only one of its kind, and it investigated satanic and occult. That's what it did. And I worked with him. In fact, I taught some courses on how to identify Satanists, and he showed you. He said, look, the number one office, the number one position coveted by Satanists is county prosecutor. The county or, you know, the local city or county prosecutor, that's the number one position because they're the ones that decide how a case will be heard. And they make sure it's not heard as a satanic case. And the number one group that become judges are prosecutors. They become judges more than anybody else. And we've had several people on this radio program that were abused in Satanism. Right. And that we had them on here. They told their stories. But that's right, because when they went, we had one case where a woman, a young girl, she went to a police officer and told her what was happening. He took her right back to her abusers. And so, yeah, that's the number one. The number one is county prosecutors, city prosecutors, county prosecutors, the number one
that
office. And I've dealt with some of that in this ministry. One case, especially on a death row case, where this was involved in Satanism. It was the murder of four little girls. And when I came up against the prosecutors, the hair on my arm stood up and the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And this happens whenever I'm involved or I come close to Satanists. And these guys, they could not keep eye contact with me. The look of fear when they looked at me, and they had to turn away. And these were prosecutors.
They do not like the light that you give out, and thus they can't look at you. They know what they're doing is evil, and yeah, that path.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, anyhow, we will keep Joe. Would you ask a prayer? Would you pray for Tom Fairbanks right now and ask the good Lord to come against the darkness, those that are the dark, those that have put him in jail, that corrupt courts and that?
I sure would. I want all the listeners out there to pray with me because there's much power in prayer. So, with your hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, you know, I've never met Tom, but we've heard the story. That's all we need to know. You know all the rest, Lord. Sounds like, to me, a man with faith, a man with courage, and battling against the evil out there. And Lord, we ask that you would not just protect him right now, but fight for him, go to battle for him, carry the victory. That you would go and knock down these forces of evil, these people hiding in the darkness, that you would flood the darkness with your light, that the truth would come out and scream itself to everyone in the area so that everyone would know the truth of what's going on, what's happening, that Tom would be cleared, that he would be released from all the trouble in prison that he's in. The emotional, mental, physical prisons, you know, all the different ways a man can be imprisoned, that you would just bless him in every conceivable way, strengthen him through this, and that you would raise up people around him that would join in the battle, people who know what's going on, that would come forth and speak truth that would stand up for you and for righteousness' sake. This we ask in that precious name, that name above all names, your Son Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Do you know which jail he is in?
He is in Weber County, Utah.
Weber County, Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that there was. I've heard that. In fact, we actually had some people on that. There was quite a bit of that taking place in a Mormon church out there amongst the Mormon high ups in Weber County, and well, in Utah. I'm not sure about that area, but you're not the first one that's come on and talked about that. In fact, we had a woman who called in. And I'm having one of my senior moments, but the fellow that has written several books on Mormonism, he called and he had this woman with him, and she was talking about her husband was a very high up in the Mormon church, but in the government there too, and she refused to join, to be a part of it, and they had threatened her, and she called in and she said right on the air, if I can't get out of here. If I can't get away from here, I'm going to end up dead. They'll kill me before they let me go. And sure enough, what had happened was that she was killed. She was murdered right there in her kitchen, shot dead with a shotgun.
And yeah, so, that's not the only story that's out there. And Tom is a big part of this. And they've tried to take him out more than once, and our Lord and Savior Jesus keeps healing him to where until his work is done, I truly believe he's untouchable right now.
Well,
and so he feels, and we feel, that maybe very shortly he will be back out and on to do the Lord's business again.
Have him contact me right away.
Actually, the name of the place that he's at is Weber County Jail in Ogden, Utah.
Weber County Jail, okay. All right.
Dennis, when you first started, you were talking about Ken Comer, and I'm not sure all our listeners really understand Ken, the tie-in with Tom. Can you kind of back up? You first talked about Ken, and then you didn't, you know, fill in who he is, and I think you left a lot of people in the dark.
Yeah, let's do that. Thank you. That's a very good question. I met Ken back in 2020. Actually 2019, and just 1 month before 75 man SWAT team came and tried to take his house away from him. But he did something very unique when he paid off his home, and that is he put it into a land patent, so even the government could not take it. Then about a month later,
Why were they trying to take his home? Yes.
The IRS and the Utah State Government.
For what purpose?
We didn't understand this until just recently. Ken was a city councilman for the city of Cedar Hills, Utah, from 1999 to about 2003. And while he was there, he saw a Utah County it just slipped my mind. Anyway, a Utah County commissioner. That's it. Utah County Commissioner came to that meeting and paid off one of the city councilmen $10,000. And Ken saw that, and then he saw the mayor also being paid off, and kind of let him know that he knows. And so it just got kind of tucked away. But over the time, those people felt that Ken knows who they are and what they're involved in their satanic coven. And actually, it wasn't Ken that knew anything about it. It was misidentification. It was actually Tom Fairbanks that had all the info on all these people. And so that's how we met Tom. And 1 month after meeting Tom, that's when Tom was poisoned and in the hospital for 30 days. And then after that, then the three of us have been working together to fight this evil that has taken over our country.
Okay, thank you, because I couldn't put it together, and I figured if I couldn't, some of the other listeners probably were a little confused too. So they used but the ruse was they were trying to take his home, but it was like homesteaded or something, so they couldn't take it, right? What we call homestead law in Missouri?
That's correct.
Okay.
So now, do you have the address of Barb, his wife?
I do not at this time, but I can get it and then text it to you at a later date.
All right, very good. I would do that. Well, I thank you. I thank you.
Dr. Sanders, appreciate you letting us put out that information.
All righty. Well, thank you for breaking.
We know that people, if you pray, our Savior Jesus Christ hears our prayers, and this nation will change and become a very positive place to live once again. We are moving in that direction. So thank you.
All righty. Well, very good. I thank you very much. And what you just said, the Bible makes it very clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 12 through 16 tells you very clearly what you just said there. Thanks so much, Dennis, for being here tonight. And you're welcome to stay on if you want with us. We're gonna have to do some lightning rounds. Did we lose him already? Okay, it looks like we lost him. All right, very good. Joe, it looks like President Trump had a good day today.
A very good day. It was talk about the Calvary coming at the last minute possible, tomorrow being Super Tuesday, and quite a few states were going to keep him off the ballot, right? And so Supreme Court says you can't do that. States don't have the right to determine who the candidates are, and so it's a federal election, not a states don't control what happens to the nation.
Well, isn't that so?
Decision, by the way, that was the good thing. It was a unanimous decision that the court came through, and it was about time.
We don't have too many of those, do we?
No, we haven't had too many, although there were a couple of the liberal judges kind of tried to hedge. They had to have their vote cast, but they kind of tried to hedge their vote a little bit, showing their bias. But they still came through and did the right thing. So it was a blessing. We need to be thankful for that. We need to also be very thankful that Trump put in some conservative judges, or this could have gone extremely bad for the nation.
Well, in the Congress, you have some very, very hardcore communists. I mean hardcore communists, Antichrist Satanists. Jamie Raskin is one of those, and of course you know.
Yeah, he's a piece of work, isn't he?
Yeah, along with Adam Schiff and the Squat. The Squat.
I didn't think we'd have a liar greater than Schiff, but this Raskin is
he's
hard to be number one liar in the Democrat Party, that's for sure.
Well, you know, it's something how, and see, a lot of people don't realize this, but amongst the Democrats, they actually, when they get a good liar, that's like what they did with like what they said with Slick Willie. They said not only is he a good liar, he's a great liar, and he's our liar.
Our liar, yeah.
And that's what they do with people. They to us, lying is wrong. It's a sin. To them, it's required. Right out of Karl Marx's manual. Say one thing, say another. Go this way, go that way. And so, anyhow.
They accuse the other side of doing what you're doing.
Well, they claim that they found a way to get around that Supreme Court ruling, and they can still keep Trump off the ballots in different states.
Well,
they claim
they're going to try and pass a bill in Congress, but that's not going to happen.
I know. But
you know, Jamie Raskin that's going to try and bring up a bill that would block that, but not going to go that way.
Well, the courts, we have such corruption in the judicial system today. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's how bad it is. I would not. Well, look what's happening in New York, for example. In New York, how corrupt, how absolutely that Engoron is and Letitia James. I mean, absolutely, completely. The only crooks, the real crooks in that hearing was Engoron, the judge and the prosecutor. They were the criminals. They were the crooks in that case. Here you had a case with Donald Trump. There was no victims. The banks that he took out the loans with said, not only was everything on the up and up, but they would love to do more business with Donald Trump.
Yeah, we made money. We liked it. We want to do some more because right now commercial real estate is not doing very well, and we're going to see a lot of loans that are coming due this year, and the companies are just going to let them go because they cannot afford to refinance. They're underwater on the loans. And with the higher interest rates right now, they're just going to abandon and let the bank take over the...
So the only crimes that were committed, Joe, were against Trump by those judicial...
That's where all the crimes are.
By those judicial prostitutes, and that's what they were. The Bible refers to them as whores. You know, they would be judicial whores. Anyhow...
Oh, you want to hear the lie of the week? Just a little humor. There was an article showed up on Daily Caller, published the 2nd of March. Hunter Biden insists that he would have dropped his infinite laptop at a repair shop. Well, the only problem is there are receipts with his handwriting that's been verified by an expert. But he went to this called the Mac Shop. And there's a receipt there for work done, small repair store in Delaware.
You'll have to save the rest of that till we get to the other side, because we are up against a hard break. So we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.